last week as a pause in our consideration of being disciples. I talked to you about sowing and reaping. Okay? It's an extremely important principle in the scriptures. I asked you to consider, what do you want to see in your life at the end of 2020? Okay? And no limitation on that. We've already heard some extraordinary stands being taken. Okay? But whatever it might be it in your circumstance, be it in your relationship with God, be it in your having salvation worked out, like, I want more healing in my life, as an example. Whatever it is, having deliberately considered that, and maybe even writing it down, I then asked you to consider, what do you need to sow to get that? Okay? It is very important that we understand the will of God does not automatically work out. I know that in the wider church, there are many brethren that we have who think whatever is to be will be because God is sovereign. Now, God is sovereign. He is the only one who has the final word when all is said and done. But he has revealed in the scriptures that he chooses to exercise that sovereignty in a certain way. And that way includes your choices. Okay? And that's why I can say the will of God does not automatically work out. You must participate. I remind you, in Philippians, it says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Okay? That doesn't mean you've got to be scared that God is going to smite you down. It means, hey, this is serious. Don't misunderstand how things work here and thereby miss what God could have put into your life. Work it out. So, you know, as ways of illustrating this, you know, have you ever stopped to consider, why do we pray before we eat? It is certainly Thanksgiving. Okay? We certainly want to give thanks. And in 1 or 2 Timothy, Paul talks about, by that thanksgiving, this food being sanctified, set apart for us. Okay? But when you look at the example, I should not put the word but there, and when you look at the example that Jesus sets, he would take food, he would give thanks, he would bless it. Okay? What does that imply? What does that imply? Whenever you see somebody saying, I bless you, or the Lord bless you, I know that it's almost what's the cliche for us to say that sort of stuff, but pay attention. Whenever somebody is blessing somebody else, what he is saying, what she is saying is, God, come and touch this. It is God using a person to open a window through which he can reach through and touch something on the earth. Why does God tell us to do that? Why do we bless this food? It is a means by which we are opening a window, for the lack of a better way of putting it, for God to reach in and touch that food and thereby make it good for us. It is not just, I'm thankful. Okay, that is necessary. But we are actually moving in something spiritual when we do this. I mean, I'm sure you've heard, there's no end of stories of, you know, going to a restaurant, you eat and 15 people get sick or whatever, right? Here is a place where if you exercise your faith, that need not happen to you. Now, no condemnation here, okay? If you go and eat something and you end up getting sick, the devil, of course, will jump on you and say, oh, what kind of believer are you? Just throw that away. But what I do want to say is here is an opportunity. I want to use that as just an illustration of how God wants to touch things, but he waits for you. He waits for you. He wants to touch things. He wants to touch things through you. And so here's an opportunity for us to participate. So I'll also say, the next time you say, the Lord bless you, think carefully what you're saying. I don't mean don't do it. I mean think about what you are actually given the privilege to do. I want God to touch this. So I bless you in Jesus' name. What's that? bless your enemies. Why would you bless your enemies? There you go. That cranky boss who's no fun to work for, bless them. You open a window through which God can reach. Now, there are many other variables involved. You know, God does not, just because you bless them, God doesn't come and hit them on the head and say, listen! He doesn't do that. Okay? But you take your point. You take your place and bless. Is there something broken? You know, there is a prophecy in, there's an episode in the Old Testament in the book called, ask me next week. It's the book of Ezekiel. The prophet sees a valley of dead bones, and God asks him, can these bones live? Long story short, God tells him, prophesy. Okay? There is an example there for us. Okay? Is something in your life completely broken and beyond resuscitation? Is it dead bones? Can they live? That valley of dead bones did nothing until a servant of God spoke. You and I are not insignificant creatures on the face of the earth. We are the sons and the daughters of the living God who wants to come and save by using you as you believe him. Okay? So, again, the will of God does not automatically work out. You must work it. It is not to say you have to do the heavy lifting. He's just looking for the opportunity to move through you. You know, behind these light switches are gigantic generators, huge pieces of equipment that generate megawatts of energy that if we were responsible for somehow creating it, well, there's no way we could do it. But to turn on that light, you don't need to invent a generator. You don't need to find a hydroelectric dam. You don't need to start a coal-fired generator. You just got to turn the switch on. And so it is with our God. Okay? The heavy lifting on our part is that switch. So with that said, let me read to you two portions of Scripture. Okay? The first is from Galatians chapter 6 that we read last week, and then we're going to read from Hebrews. Again, please don't misunderstand the reason I'm reading this. Even though it starts talking to you about how you should relate to somebody teaching, I am not talking to you about that because I want you to do something for me. I'm after the principle here. Okay? The one who is taught the word, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. That's the principle I'm after. Okay? For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me read verse 9, which is my main point today. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Hebrews chapter 10. I mean, what an amazing chapter. In your own time, please go and read it. It's just extraordinary, the things that he says. For the sake of time, in verse 35, therefore, so that means you've got to go find out what the therefore is there for, right? Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And now he's going to quote from an Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So today, second part of what I spoke with you last week about reaping and sowing, I want to remind you, God is helping us from the beginning to be aware you're going to have to endure. So if you'd like, sow with endurance. Okay? Now, hands up, anybody in here who has had a circumstance that they were praying, they were expecting, they were fighting for the will of God, and it didn't work. Okay, hands up. You can put more than one appendage up if that's happened to you more than once. I wouldn't be able to stand. Okay? What is that like? Tough? Disappointing?
But I didn't give up.
Okay, you're getting ahead of me. You're also getting ahead of me. Both what Christiane and Steve said is right and absolute, but it's the end of my message. Okay? But I want us to understand, how do we work through those things? Okay? You have to be humble. And again, this is what God is getting at in these things. But I think it's not hard for you to imagine it would be disappointing. And depending on what you're talking about, extremely disappointing. Okay? To the point of discouragement and disillusionment, all these D words. Okay. Now, it is rarely obvious why something did not work out. And there is coming a day when we stand before the Lord and we are allowed to see how things were, why things happened. And you know what? I am convinced each one of us, when we look at the disaster of what we went through, we'll say, you were right. You were absolutely right. You did the very most I could possibly have in that circumstance. We will judge correctly in that time. But right now, we don't have that depth of insight. We don't know all the variables as to why something happened or didn't. And God speaks to us not about, let me explain things to you. He says, here's how I want you to live. Every time, okay, here's my context. You believe in Jesus, okay? You personally, at some point in time, said to God, what Jesus did was for me. I was separated from you. I was an enemy of God. As an aside, there is this notion that we're all just the children of God, okay? I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you believing something doesn't make it true. It is a popular thought, we're all just the children of God. And in a weak way, it is true. God made us all. And he cares about every single one that he made. But the idea, the concept of the child of God is very specific in the scriptures. It is for someone who has received Jesus. To all who received him, he gave the right to be children of God, to become children of God. So my assumption here is that I'm talking to someone who is a child of God. You receive Jesus for yourself. And that especially required faith, but that faith manifested through some kind of action, like you prayed a prayer. Okay? To you, if that is not you, please come and see me. There's no reason that you should wait and be on the outside. Being part of a church, as wonderful and as pleasant as it is not where it's at. Jesus is where it's at. Okay? So if that is you, every place where you face some kind of disappointment, disillusionment, some kind of, I just want to give up, I want you to recognize that did not come from God. That thought of giving up is not compatible with God is for me, God is with me. So where we start in dealing with these kinds of circumstances is to confess my disappointment, my disillusionment, is not actually valid. We don't have to deny I'm disappointed. We don't have to deny I'm disillusioned. I'm really ready to give up here. But we need to acknowledge that that does not come from you. Okay, a long time ago, in one of the messages here, I mentioned something that somebody named Bill Johnson echoed. Any place in your life where there is no hope, okay, so now think about your circumstances and the things going on. And if what defines your set of thoughts about that is no hope, then a lie is ruling your mind there. Because God is the God of all hope. If God is for you, how can you then think, this can't work out? Yeah, wonderful, God is for me, but who cares? Some lie is ruling your thought here. Okay? Where there is no thought to, I'm going to see this through, that thought is not coming to you from the Holy Spirit. If you can recognize that, then you can begin to work against it. Because you must work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And in this specific matter, what I'm talking to you about is, you must endure. I mean, what do? You try and you try and you try, and every time you try, you fail. But you're working on something that is what God has for you. That you are pretty much settled on. Either from the scriptures or from some word of prophecy or some sense in your own fellowship with the Lord, this is what God wants for me. And you try and you fail. 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 What do you need to do there? Confess any thought of giving up is not from you. It is not valid. Because God has said, He is for me. He is with me. I am with you to help you. To Joshua, he said, every place where the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. That was a foreshadowing of what was to be for us. I told you last week from the book of Ephesians, we are the blessed. Not we will be the blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, past tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It is ours. So any thought that, what's the point? Recognize it for what it is. As reasonable sounding, as logical as it is still a lie. And so I must humble myself. Again, we cannot easily explain why something did not work the way we expected it to work from the scriptures. Okay? Sometimes what we're after is just so stupid, though we don't see it. Okay? We just don't see it. You know, Father, I just want you to kill that guy. Just kill him. Take him off the face of the earth. And we're praying and we're praying. And it's like, why is this not working? Because God doesn't do that. God is not your hitman. He really isn't. He told you how to pray for that person. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive him. And I ask you to bless him. That'll be more productive than, kill him! Why aren't you killing him? Okay, so there are some things we can pretty quickly explain. Okay, if you are willing to come out of being drunk with your circumstance. But there are many things that we don't understand. And God does not come to you and explain to you. He does not negotiate with you. Well, if you keep walking with me, I promise I'll do better next time. Is not God. Is not God. He says, son, follow me. Endure. You have need of endurance. Keep sowing. Why do you think you have the right to stop sowing? Says the Lord. Why do you think you have that right? Why do you think that is the answer for this? No, we humble ourselves. Because God is after something in addition to the thing you are trying to work out, and that is you would perceive how great is this salvation and how great is the God who is for you and with you. And the most precious thing about your life is not that your circumstances click. It is that you came to know what God is like. The offer on the table to us is not, believe me and you will have no problems. The offer on the table is, what in this world you will have trouble. Some of it your own making, some of it not. But in this world you will have trouble. Take courage. I have overcome the world. And I am with you. The offer on the table is, whatever happens, God is more than enough. And I don't mean that in some kind of consoling, well, God is just enough. I mean, he makes the difference. Okay? You're sick, he's the healer. You're lacking, he's the provider. Are you by yourself? You were made for him, and he is with you. He is the answer. But you must persevere. You must endure. This is why in more than one place, it talks to us about sowing with perseverance. See it through. So in addition to your consideration of what you want to see this year, I want you to be very deliberate in dealing with the disappointments of last year. and writing over them in your heart, I have no right to give up here. I'll see this through. I'll see this through. I'll see this through. The Lord is for me. The Lord is with me. What has happened doesn't change the reality. God is for me and with me. I will keep sowing. Do not allow the disappointments of last year, as Anne rightly stood up and says, this is the day the Lord has made. Do not allow the disappointments of last year to hold you back from sowing this year and sowing determinedly and with perseverance. Do you understand? Okay, stand with me and let's just pray. I didn't move from the spot, and I spoke slowly.
Praise the Lord.
Father, we're standing in your presence, remembering that you have heard all that we have heard here, and we are asking you for help. We are so in need of you. I thank you for mercies that are new every morning. I thank you for your faithfulness, for your kindness. Father, in everything that we have been disappointed by, we ask you to come and touch us and heal us and strengthen us that we will not be discouraged from sowing now. I ask you, Father, that your Spirit would come and strengthen us in the inside that we can see this year through in our sowing and then therefore our reaping. You have good in store for each of these circumstances, each of the people that we're thinking about. You have good in store for us. So help us to diligently sow and hold fast to you. For your righteous one shall live by faith. We expect help this year, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you.